Welcome to the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. Show notes, links, and contact details can be found at robnunphoto.com. That's www.robnunphoto.com. SCL is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, and loads of other great tech podcasts can be found over at www.techpodcast.com. Now on with the show. Hi everybody, and welcome to SCL, the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. This is show 108 for the 1st of August 2010. My name's Rob from robnunphoto.com, and this podcast is my little journal in my journeys through the world of photography and trying to become a better photographer. Actually, I'm thinking about changing that little description because it's more like this is what I've been up to this week in photography. It's like my news, isn't it? I don't seem to be... I haven't talked about anything really to do with technique or anything about getting better for a long time. But maybe it's because now... I think I'm going to get better just by going out and taking lots of photographs. And also by looking at lots of photographs. I think sort of trying to suck in as much... visual stimulus, if you like, from lots of different photo books and magazines, and then by trying to put that, not by copying, but by sort of letting that absorb into my subconscious, and then by going out and taking photographs, my subconscious will then kind of take over and influence, you know, the compositions I choose or the way that I choose to photograph a picture in terms of what sort of light or what sort of angle. All that sort of stuff. Well, as you know, I record this podcast on a Sunday, and Sunday morning is car boot time in the United Kingdom, and car boots are these wonderful sales events, not really, but it's a bit like what everybody does is they put all the junk from their attics or their lofts into their cars, drive to somewhere like a farmer's field or a school playground, open them up, and then you can buy stuff really, really cheap, and it's a great way to get cheap photography stuff, as long as you don't mind getting up at 6:30 on a Sunday morning. And what did I get this morning? Well, you're gonna laugh. I've got to take a picture of it. Actually, I got a Polaroid camera. You may well remember last week I talked about getting the Fujifilm Instax 200 instant film camera. And the reason why I got it is because it was at the car boot sale and it was £2. But the beauty with the Fujifilm is the fact that they still make Instax film, Instax wide film for those cameras. But it's still quite expensive. I think the cheapest place you can get it is about £12 for 10 shots. So, you know, as soon as we've got a holiday out of the way at the end of the month, I'll probably be getting some film. But Polaroid... as you know, Polaroid stopped making their own cameras a few years ago. Most sort of famous for things like the Polaroid 600 series cameras. Now that they are actually do have a new camera out called the Polaroid 300, I believe that it's called, which is actually a rebranded Fujifilm Instax Mini. Haven't seen it on sale in any shops in the UK, I think, but there's plenty available on eBay. But they're quite expensive. They're sort of £50 to £70. So, listening to the film photography podcast has kind of whetted my appetite for more instant film photography because it's been years since I've done any. And so now at the car boot sales, you know, I'm looking out for instant cameras. And so the one I picked up this morning was a Polaroid 600 camera. And you're going to laugh. it's a Spice Girls Polaroid 600 camera. That's right, it's the Polaroid Spice Cam in shocking pink, purple and dark charcoal grey. I believe this is sort of just a colourful version of their budget 600 series camera. They're very, very simple cameras. They have a infinity focus type of lens, which has this little lever that you push across if you want to do close-ups. So if you want to focus on anybody up to about a meter and a half away, you just push this lever across, and this plastic lens covers the main lens and covers the viewfinder as well. Also, it's got basic exposure compensation on as well, which what that involves when you actually look at it is where the little sensor is, the little light meter is that judges, I guess, the shutter speed. It's got a plastic cover on it, a plastic see-through cover with black lines on it. And if you want to make the picture darker, make the picture lighter, so it uses a longer shutter speed, you get more, you push the lever across and the piece of plastic moves, it has more black lines on. And then if you want to make it darker, I guess, so the shutter speed is longer, is that right? Am I getting this right around? I'm not quite sure. There's basically no lines on it at all. And it's a simple fold-up camera. Unfortunately, the way Polaroids work is that the battery is actually in the film. So until I can get some cheap Polaroid film to put through this beast, I don't know if it actually works. But they're very mechanical, these Polaroid cameras. That's what I like about them. And it's like a kind of clamshell design. So I'll take a photograph of it and put it in the show notes over at rubnonphoto.com so you can all have a laugh at my Spice Girls Polaroid 600 camera. Now, as you know, SCL has picked up a sponsor recently through the Tech Podcast Network, which is GoToMeeting. And what GoToMeeting is, it's a way that you can liaise with people all over the country, all over the world, online, with voice over internet calling, where everybody in the meeting that you want to have can see what's on your desktop. So, you know, say you just want to do a one-to-one with a client, and you know, you're talking on the phone and you're saying, you know, if we look at the figures, we can see that, you know, by quarter four we're going to have a sales rise of 20%. But you can, with GoToMeeting, you can say, well, look, I tell you what, let me show you the spreadsheet, let me show you the Excel spreadsheet. And you tell the other person, go to gotomeeting.com, put in this meeting code, and then they can see your desktop. So you can run people through the figures, you can show them the presentations, you can show them the PowerPoints, you can show them the Word documents. And it doesn't have to be one person, it can be multiple people. So instead of having boring conference calls where people are just kicking back and reading the newspaper, they can see your computer. It's more interactive, they can see what's going on, and they're going to be more productive, and you're going to save money because of time. These meetings aren't going to take as long. Productivity, you're going to get a lot more out of them. And obviously the big one is costs for transporting people around, because everybody can stay where they are. So it's really good. So what GoToMeeting do is they do a free trial for 30 days. You can try it out, and then you can choose to start paying for it on a month-to-month basis. And to get this free trial, just go to the URL gotomeeting.com/techpodcasts. So that's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. Try it out for 30 days and I'm sure you'll really love it. Okay, so what I wanted to talk about for a little bit, these podcasts are quite short in the summer because, as you know, I work in a store, I'm a store manager, and we're really short staffed at the moment. And I've just worked the past 10 days in a row, so I'm absolutely tired, would be the polite way of putting it. It also means I don't have that much time to go out and shoot photography, but I have been out a few times shooting some sunsets. And what I'd like to talk about is not sunsets or anything like that, but my Lowepro Flipside 400 AW bag, which I also did a video review of fairly recently, which you can find on the Scale Speeder channel over on YouTube. I'll put a link in the show notes at rubnonphoto.com. Because this bag is really cool. Now, you may well remember that I kind of started off with the Fujifilm S5700 compact camera, which my missus uses to take lots of photographs of, and I use to do lots of the videos I put on the rubnonphoto.com site. Fantastic camera, and one of the great advantage of it is it has a fixed lens. But the problem is, when you change to the SLR type system of cameras, all of a sudden you don't just have the body, but you have all these different lenses that you have to lug around with you. And I started off with a really small camera bag, a low pro top loader or something. I haven't got it here, but basically the camera could only hold hold the camera with one lens on at a time, which is a bit of a disadvantage when you want to take lots of telephoto lenses and things around. And then at the car boot sale I managed to pick up a really brilliant bag that I'd recommend to everybody, a low pro photo runner bag. Now this is a bit bigger, it's basically the size of a big bum bag, or I do believe our American cousins call it a fanny pack. If you're in Britain you'll probably be laughing about that now, because in the UK a fanny is most definitely not a bum, it's something else. So it's about the size of a large bum bag, I'll call it. And in that I could fit my body with a lens on and two or three more lenses as well, and all the spare CF cards and batteries as well in it. That was really nice. But you know me, I mean, I've got quite a few old M42 lenses and extension things and lens babies and all this sort of stuff. And so I wanted a bigger bag that I could carry all this stuff with around with me. And for my birthday back in June, Suzanne and Oliver bought me this big, big old bag, the Low Pro Flipside 400 AW, which is a big, big mother. This is a big rucksack type bag. And immediately, a few days later, I started to load all my camera gear in it. And it includes things like there's a strap for a tripod on the back, it has a rain cover, it has loads and loads of compartments. The main feature of the flip sides is that you access the main camera compartment through the part of the bag that is up against your back, and the idea of that is that it's a bit of a security feature, so that as you're wandering around people can't just undo your bag and take out your expensive lenses. They can, however. Well, and then the other main compartment, the soft compartment, where you keep all your memory cards and spare, I don't know, lens cleaning brushes and stuff like that, does unzip. But with that, you could put a little padlock to connect together. And there's loads of straps and pockets and compartments. Fit loads and loads of stuff in. The build quality is excellent. And all the sort of compartments inside it are all sort of Velcro, so you can move them around to customise it to the sort of kit you've got, whether that be lots of lenses or flashes or different sorts of gear. So anyway, so I loaded it all up with lots and lots of my gear, and it's kind of been sitting there a bit. But I hadn't really gone out with it much until over the last couple of weeks, and I was quite nervous, to be honest. I was looking at it, and I would pick it up to move it around, you know, like you do. And I thought, this is really heavy, this. You know, I was starting to think I made the wrong choice. I started to think, you know, I bought a rucksack that's too big, that I can fit too much stuff in, and it's going to be too heavy to lug around when I'm out sort of on a photo walk. And there's nothing worse than having a bag that's too heavy, because it puts you off your photography, you can't concentrate, and you just start thinking about going home. Excuse me, I'm just having a sip of my coffee. Oh, that's nice. So I was thinking, oh, maybe I should have gone for one of the smaller slingshot type bags that you've probably seen, the ones that just have one strap that goes over your shoulder. And the big advantage of those is that when you want to use your camera gear, you can sort of swing them around and the whole bag comes around to the front of you and you can get your camera out. But they're a little bit smaller. So that was my trepidation, the fact that the Flipside 400 was too big. And I had made it too heavy by putting too much stuff in it, because if I go through the stuff I've got in it, I've got all my spare memory cards, batteries, that sort of stuff, but they're not very heavy. But in the main sort of section, I've got my 350D SLR with the 28mm lens on it. I've got the 50mm f1.8 lens on it in there. I've got the 300mm, 75 to 300mm zoom. I've got the Lens Baby Composer with the wide angle and macro attachment. I've got the Let's fuck it down here. The 35-105 Canon EF zoom. What have I got hidden underneath there? No, there's nothing underneath there at the moment. I've got the 29mm Praktika lens, and the reason why I've got that is because I've got an ND4 filter, and an ND4 filter is a darkening filter that enables you to take longer exposures. It's like a pair of sunglasses for your camera, so if you want those misty water effects, and I've played around with it a little bit, but not to very much effect, but that's in there as well, because the filter thread size of that ND just fits that particular lens. I've got the 135mm Helios 2.8 M42 lens. I've got the 3x Prins Galaxy M42 teleconverter. I've got a whole stack of extension tubes, about 5 or 6 of them. And to round everything off, I've got the 200mm f3.3, what make is it? Hanimex lens as well. Now the thing about these old M42 lenses is they weigh a lot because they're all metal. And the prime, so the big chunky glass. You know, the Hanimex 200mm f3.3. That's a good couple of, well, not a couple of pounds, pound maybe. Yeah, it's a big, heavy, chunky thing. Whereas the Canon EF lenses, because they're all plastic, they don't weigh very much. But it's a heavy bag, and I was a bit nervous about it. But anyway, I've been out over the last few weeks, shooting quite a lot in the evening, doing sunsets and things. And although it doesn't involve big long walks, it does involve parking the car somewhere and then walking along the beach, walking along the promenade to get somewhere to set up the tripod. So I'm walking for quite a distance with the camera bag on my back and my camera in my hand, obviously, and a tripod over my shoulder. And then moving around to lots of different locations. And I am very pleased to say and to report that the Flipside 400 AW, and this probably goes to lots of other well-made camera bags as well, is incredibly comfortable to use, even though I've managed to load it up with loads and loads of kit. And I'm not dead sure, well, I'll explain why I think it's really, really comfortable to use, even with all this kit on it. It has this very thick padding on the back of the bag that's up against your body, and the padding is contoured as well, so it fits the shape of your back. It's also got that sort of mesh material on it, so I guess that enables your back to breathe so you don't get as sweaty. It also has a really good big thick lumbar support strap that you can do up around your tummy as well, and it does have a chest strap, but I haven't bothered using that. And also, I think because the camera, the weight in the bag is spread out equally with all these Velcro adjustable portions, the weight is very evenly distributed across your back, and it's all very close to your back as well. It's not like it's all hanging around sort of further away. And also, I think, and this might be a little bit of luck, because of the way I've packed the bag, I've packed all my heavy prime lenses at the bottom, and so they're near the bottom of my back, so that doesn't really affect it that way at all. And I tell you, I was walking around for a good half an hour with the bag on, and it felt, I'm not going to say it felt like I didn't have it on, but it felt very, very comfortable indeed. Now, one thing I would say though is that is only when I had both of the straps on my shoulders. If I was just carrying it with one strap on my shoulder, it got quite heavy on that shoulder pretty quickly. And so what I found I was doing, I was quickly, whenever I was picking it up to put it on, it would be on both shoulders. So it was nice and in the middle of my back, and it was equally distributed between my shoulder blades, and that worked very well. So I'm now incredibly pleased that I went for this big bag, the Flipside 400. I guess what I'm looking forward to next is, some of the things I'm going to take out of it will be, I would say, the 29mm 2.8 lens. I'll take that out because I've got the 28mm Canon, so I don't really need that. If I just got a ND filter for the Canon, that would be okay. Once I've finished testing the 200mm Hanimex M42 lens, I'll probably do without that, unless it completely blows me away. and sort of stick maybe with the 135mm f2.8 and the 75-300 Canon, because what I really want to do is make some space for a flash in here as well, or a flash or two, because if anybody looks at Clarky Snaps PhotoStream, he recently got a remote flash release trigger wireless thing off eBay, and he says it works very well. And I've had a look, and you can get them incredibly cheap. I mean, I don't know how good they are, but you can get like a flash trigger with three slaves on it. So you could potentially have a system where the camera can trigger three different flashes for like £25. I mean, obviously they're no pocket wizards or anything like that, but I think, you know, if I went for like one that has the master and two slaves for, I think they're about £17, and they come from China or something. I mean, even if it doesn't work, I mean, who cares? You know that's definitely good enough. So I'll be cutting down on the kit. But to be honest, I don't really have to. I could still stick with all my lenses in the big back compartment of my camera, and then I could put the flashes in the sort of the other compartment at the front as well. So there we go. So the FlipSlide 400 AW, a huge camera bag, but one, if you wear it properly using both straps, is very, very comfortable and feels very, very light. Right, well, that's about it really for this week. I've got a day off tomorrow. God, I have a day off. So hopefully I might be able to go and do a little bit of shooting, but I need, as I said last week, I need to get my head straight with some of the shots I need to take to complete the 2010 projects I'm working on. So now it's time for the thanks. As ever, thanks for thanks to everybody for taking part in the Flickr group and the Flickr forum. If you're not already a member, remember it's free to join Flickr. It's free to join the Flickr photo forum for robinhoodphoto.com. You can find the links in the show notes over at www.robinhoodphoto.com. Thanks everybody for commenting on the blog. Thanks to Everyday Jones, who they do the music that you hear and the intro and the outro of the podcast. But most of all, thanks to you for downloading and listening to the podcast. My name's Rob from robinhoodphoto.com. You can email me with questions or comments or anything at all. I really enjoy getting emails. Just send them to Scale Speeder. That's ScaleSpeeder at gmail.com. But finally, most of all, thanks to you for downloading and listening to the podcast. And hopefully, pretty soon, I'll be seeing you on Flickr.